Assalamu alaikum everyone. In collaboration with the Mizzi Wahid Podcast, we have just launched our new series, Mizzi Wahid Podcast and Mendaki School Ready Campaign. Throughout this campaign, we'll be covering broad themes of parenting to give you the best tips and advice on how to instill values and hone essential skills for your child's development. If your child is entering primary school next year, this is especially the right place for you to be. So we are going to be releasing a series of podcasts starting with leisure learning through the holidays. With the start of the school holidays, what are some of the beneficial activities you can do with your child? So tune in to the Mizzi Wahid Podcast to dive into the concept of executive functioning skill, EFS, that we'll be sharing in the episode. Check it out over at Spotify, and thank you, Mendaki School Ready Campaign. And I hope you'll enjoy it. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Hello, listeners, and welcome once again to another episode on my podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Yayasan Mendaki. Yayasan Mendaki is a pioneer self-help group for the development of the Malay Muslim community in Singapore. It assists students and individuals of the Malay Muslim community with education and with lifelong learning. For more information about them, or if you wish to seek some assistance, you may visit my.mendaki.org.sg. That's my.mendaki.org.sg. So to kick things off, first and foremost, I'd like to wish each and every one of you out there who is a father, like me, an advanced Happy Father's Day. May the special day bring happiness to you and your family, inshallah. I am a father, but I want to say this, and I hope this doesn't sound like I'm just rooting for my own people, but I think sometimes we need to. So I want to say I salute all fathers, because I know the challenges and the difficulties that comes with the job. I also know that many fathers out there are giving their very best to their family. I know it's not easy, and I want to say kudos to all of you who have been working really hard, tirelessly, no complaints, you know, just working, trying to make sure that your family's all good, all safe, everything's taken care of, and they're all happy. So I pray and I ask that, first and foremost, that Allah rewards all of you with His bountiful blessings for your selflessness and for your sacrifices. Ameen. All right, so let's start off by sharing a bit more about, you know, okay, so my journey as a father started in 2011. That's when I was blessed with my first child, my wife. And since then, we were blessed with three more. So they're all about 2 years apart, alhamdulillah. It has been an incredible journey that I would never trade it for anything else in the world. Sometimes just looking at them, or especially watching over them when they're sleeping, makes you feel grateful. I read this book recently by Brené Brown about daring greatly. And in that book, she talks a lot about vulnerability. And she asked this one question. In which moment do you feel most vulnerable? And a lot of the answers that she got, she said she was surprised, because she thought people felt vulnerable in dangerous circumstances, in terrifying situations, in moments when they feel extremely intimidated. But to her surprise, most of the replies came from a more positive standpoint. So for example, one of them, and this is why I'm bringing this up, one of them was, she said that there were parents, fathers and mothers, who said that they felt most vulnerable when they were standing watching over their children when their children were asleep. Just being in that moment means the world, right? But being a father comes with a set of worries, just like a mother would as well. It comes with a whole lot of insecurities. And I believe that many fathers have this question that they ask themselves too. Am I doing enough for my family? So, you see, in the past, during perhaps my grandparents' generation, it was more than enough if you were the breadwinner, if you went to work, if you had more than one job perhaps, if you just did that, put food on the table and did nothing else, that would have been enough. But today, we question ourselves a lot more because the role of being a father comes in a whole package where it's not just about bringing income to the family, but it's also about being present, being involved in your children's lives, helping them out with their studies, and being there for the enrichment classes and programs, and showing them love, and teaching them how to be disciplined, and instilling them values about being a good person. And all of these things, it's huge. So I can understand when a father today feels overwhelmed. And as fathers, we tend to be hard on ourselves because we're not doing enough. We're not going above and beyond what our grandfathers used to need to do, right? So we get to a point where we start blaming ourselves for not being good enough, or when something goes south and then we say, oh, it's my fault because I didn't step up. So some form of accountability is good, but it becomes unhealthy when we just attack ourselves over and over again without really trying to find a proper solution or trying to get help in areas where it gets a bit too complicated and overwhelming for us. So it is true that a new study in Singapore revealed that 70% of parents with children aged between 5 to 8 say that they are too busy during the pandemic to enjoy quality time with the kids. I can totally relate to that. You know, I belong to that 70%. I don't know whether it's partly because we are Singaporeans, but that's part of life, part of reality. We have work. Even during the pandemic, work continued. And work from home didn't make it any easier. The kids had home-based learning. So, you know, just feeling like you could not have that quality time. Because I know that a lot of parents, their quality time was usually spent outside of home. They would bring the kids out to playgrounds, to watch a movie, to go on a holiday. And the pandemic kind of like prevented all of those activities from happening. And so I can understand why they feel that they're not enjoying quality time with their kids. Because at home, it's work. At home, it's schoolwork and other, you know, routines like house chores and all. From that 70%, less than half of them experience positive emotions when their kid wants attention, while a quarter of respondents are annoyed or stressed by that fact. One in four parents also feels tired or worried about work in the middle of fun activities with their little ones. I can relate to that too. I felt that. Like, I'm supposed to be enjoying time, but my mind is distracted by some other concern or worry, whether it's work-related or something else, right? We get so easily distracted. So, you know, for me, running a few businesses, being a solemnizer, being in Ustaz, sitting on a couple of non-profit organizations on their boards, you know, these things make it a lot more complex for me to juggle with all of my responsibilities there, between trying to be fully present when I'm at home, when I'm with the kids, and committing to my tasks at work and my other responsibilities. And I asked a question recently on my Instagram. The question was, what are some struggles fathers go through? So this was a question directed to the men, And alhamdulillah, I got about 250 respondents or more. And here are the answers. So I gave four options, right? The first option is financial stability for the family. The second option is lack of free time for the wife and kids. The third option is overworked and stressed out. The fourth option is being a perfect role model for the children. So the question once again is, what are some struggles fathers go through? The number one answer that 41% of the respondents gave was financial stability for the family. Yes, with the economy being so unpredictable, and there's a lot of talk that we might hit into a recession. So there is deep and valid fears that many people have. They don't even know whether they're going to be able to keep the job that they currently have. And what would that mean to the family? What if they are the only breadwinner? Or what if the family's sustainability is only possible with both husband and wife working? And if they lose their job, what's going to happen? So they worry about all these things. But even if, let's say, they have a solid job where it's almost like an iron risable, the concern is still there, because the cost of living is always going up. The bills are always increasing. The children's fees for all of their either school, tuition, and all of that, it's always going up, right? And if you're planning to send them to a top university one day, that's more costing, more savings you need to make. So, you know, there are a lot of these worries and concerns in a father's mind on a daily basis. So again, that is where most of you voted. Financial stability for a family is the biggest struggle that fathers go through. Second, at 21%, is lack of free time for wife and kids. So I want to just, you know, highlight that comparison. It's a 20% difference between financial stability and lack of free time. I think this actually tells us something. It tells us that most fathers would rather work extra hours, be away from the family longer, just so that they can have the peace of mind that they have enough for the family, compared to, you know, working less hard and cutting the hours just so that they can have quality time with the family. And this does not mean that they love their family less. It just means that they care for their family a lot more in ways that are not so visible or hard to understand for, you know, people of today's generation, right? But they would rather do that because their peace of mind is more important. And I guess that's why whenever they are with their family, their mind gets distracted about work, because that gives them peace. And when they have peace of mind with regards to their family finances, then they can have full enjoyment and happiness when they are with their loved ones. All right. So I thought I would share with you the responses from that poll. So even though we struggle, we keep it to ourselves. And that's what a lot of men deal with, because we are afraid of being judged by others for being weak. I think that's just one of it, right? We don't want to be seen as we're not a good man, we're not a strong husband, we're not a reliable father. You know, all of these judgments we fear coming from other people. We want to look strong in front of others, okay? But I just want all of you listening in right now to know that it's okay to not always be okay all of the time. Being honest with your struggles does not make you weak. In fact, that is the kind of vulnerability that makes you more powerful, because it allows you to seek help and then gain strength from all of that, right? So I feel that fathers, some of them who do this, they need to realize that there is a better way. There is always a better way. And one of those ways, and I know this makes you feel comfortable, is to admit that you are struggling, is to admit that you need help. And there are many opportunities, there are many platforms where you can go to agencies and centers where they really open up to men to get the help that they need. Okay, so I also am aware that there are some fathers, the reason why they don't share, it's not because they don't want to look weak, but they don't want their family members to worry about them. That is the bigger concern. Their form of protection is like a double protection. So firstly, I protect them by ensuring that I work hard and ensuring that they have enough. But the other way of protecting them is by not letting them worry about my worries. I just keep it to myself and deal with it on my own, right? That's how they feel like they're more of a man. So someone asked me before, Ustaz, how do I become a super dad? A super dad is like a father who can do anything and everything and deal with any problem and challenge. How do I become a father like that? Well, I feel like it's not realistic to be a super father who can do everything. You just need to know what you're good at, and you need to do more of those. And the areas where you think you need help with, that's where you can get, you know, support from your spouse, from your parents, from your siblings, from anyone out there who will not attack you for being vulnerable in this sense, who will instead offer you advice even, or words of encouragement. Because support is not just physical support, like being there to literally help you carry out the duties, but it's just their presence and their moral support that can really energize a father who is struggling to get through another day, okay? So I think when you want to aim to be this super father or super dad, it's always about quality over quantity. We feel bad that we don't get to spend an entire weekend with them because we have to work on Saturday, for example. And so you feel horrible because there are less hours and minutes. But your concern should not be about the hours and minutes. Your focus should be on whenever I am there, how present am I and how interactive? And am I being a good listener when my children are telling me something about their day in school or their problems with their friends and things like that? Those are more critical, and children pay more attention to that. You can be absent, but they can still love you so much because they know that whenever you are with them, when you're playing with them, you're really playing with them, right? Like I saw recently Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, right? He showed a video. He has two lovely daughters. He has three daughters, but the two ones from his recent marriage are really young. And he pretended to be asleep even though he was no longer asleep when the two daughters came in and started drawing on his face. And he says it's painful because these are kids and they really pressed on. And he had to continue pretending to sleep. And he woke up with a mustache, with a unibrow, with, you know, all of these silly things on his face. But these are the things that children remember the most, because their father was there, their father, you know, played along with it, and, you know, the children giggle and laugh and have fun. Those things are so precious, they are so valuable, you know, you wouldn't trade it for anything else. But I know that the typical father image that children have, especially maybe for our generation, like our fathers had this persona of being fierce, being firm, being unapproachable. And we take that as a complete negative, when it may or may not necessarily mean that. That could have been the only way they knew how to love, by protecting you from doing anything stupid or anything harmful to yourself. So that's how some people protect their family. So that's how some people show love. That's how some people teach their children through those ways. And maybe because we didn't know any better, we just picked it up and said, oh, because my father was like that to me, I'm going to be like that way too, to my own children. But it doesn't necessarily have to be negative, fierce all of the time. Sometimes it's just about standing your ground and explaining. Children today need answers. They want to know why something is not allowed. They want to know why they're not supposed to go somewhere. They want to know why doing something too much is bad for their health. If you can explain it well, then they will listen. So that does not cause them to respect you less. It does not cause them to listen to you less, right? In fact, they want to listen more because they want to hear what you have to say, the reasons. So we need to converse with our children more, and that's part of the quality over quantity. So with this, inshallah, when you do all of that, when you try to apply bit by bit, your child will be more open and will want to spend more time with you. So in the previous episode, I mentioned the importance of developing EFS in our children. And we also covered the importance of working memory, where it's our ability to keep and understand pieces of information well. This week, we will look into another aspect of mental skills, which is our cognitive or mental flexibility. So just imagine you are starting the day by having breakfast. And for some families, it's a routine to have milk every morning. Then one unfortunate day, there's no milk left. So what do? Do you get mad without having milk on the side? Do you go to a cafe and eat there instead? Do you have something else for breakfast altogether? Therefore, having a flexible mindset allows you to think about other options when an unexpected change occurs and requires you to adapt accordingly. It also, you know, another way of looking at it, that was a very simple example, but let's say you drive to work every day, but then suddenly your car couldn't start. Do you then call in and say, I can't come to work today because my car is fault? Or do you find a temporary solution first? Like, okay, I'll take public transport, I'll call the Grab, you know? Like finding a way to get to work and then maybe calling a friend who can come over and to have a look at your car, perhaps, or your brother, you know, or somebody you know. Having that flexible mindset is important. It moves us away from limiting thought patterns and allows us to be more open to other possibilities, which for me is great, as we know that life is unpredictable, as I said earlier, and challenging. We need to constantly be ready to evaluate and make adjustments to different situations, tasks, roles, and responsibilities, to adapt to changes without feeling frustrated easily. So this is crucial for our children's development, as something they need to know, that things will not go as planned, and sometimes that's completely fine. This will encourage children to view problems from a different perspective and find solutions or alternatives to solve the problem. So how do we as a father or as parents help to develop our children's mental flexibility? Here are five activities that you can do with your child that will help them build resilience, confidence, creativity, and achieve goals. Number one, you can start off by exercising with your child. Definitely a great way to boost our mental and physical health. This thus allows for your child to feel calmer and think clearer, and hence this builds up their creative thinking. Because when your body gets moving, your mind feels more alert, and that's always a good thing. Next, try something different with your child. For example, if you've never played an instrument before, a musical instrument, I mean, then maybe you can give that a shot. How about dancing? Or cooking a new recipe? Or baking that, you know, cookie that you both love to eat? How about picking up some basic words in a new language together with them? Novelty encourages mental flexibility and over time supports the child's brain growth. This, again, will then boost your confidence in being open to trying out new things. Next, introduce them to be aware of their thoughts and their words. Emphasize to them how important listening is and that our words carry weight. Teach them to substitute negative or rigid thoughts and phrases that do not benefit them. Instead, use positive affirmation, often to encourage growth. It will help instill positive reinforcements in persevering to solve problems in the future. So for example, if your child says, I cannot do this, a parent should then encourage them to think by asking, how can you do this? Yes, it's difficult, but when you put a full stop on every sentence, it stops the brain from thinking. This book by Carol Dweck that talks about growth mindset is something that I would encourage all parents to read so that we can apply it on a daily basis in our conversations with our children. So changing your thoughts from your statements or through your statements with the right kind of questions will encourage continuous creative thinking. Another way is to mold children to be spontaneous. This is number four. Initiate conversations that will get them to make quick decisions. Spontaneity also is how we train ourselves and our mind to be flexible. So when you teach your children to be spontaneous in some situations, of course not in all situations, when they are that way, it helps them feel confident in trying out changes, in moving off of certain routines. With this, both you and your child will be able to experience new things together. I tend to do this with my kids, you know. So for example, I have this one routine where I bring my kids to the library every week, and we go to a specific library that's near our home. So on a random Saturday, I would just drive over to a different library, and then they will be surprised. Once they are surprised with that, the following week, I'll ask them, which library do you want to go to? And obviously, they now know that there are two libraries, right? So they'll say one of those two. But then I ask them, what if we try another one? And they're surprised. And then they didn't know that they could go to another one, a different one. And so when we do this with them more and more, it will make a big difference in their way, to deal with doing things spontaneously. Okay. And lastly, number five, to help them in achieving goals, create a visual schedule to organize their tasks into simple yet doable small tasks. In turn, this allows them to achieve successes in small steps before reaching the end goal. For example, how about planning house chores to be done in a calendar? Set timing to complete homework. Divide and spread out which topics to study for the week. During the school holiday, I actually got my kids to do that. They have a big whiteboard at home. And interestingly, my wife called me the other night and said, look at them. They were listing down all the house chores together, and they had like a meeting, you know, that they were sitting around. I forgot to take a picture, but they were sitting around the whiteboard on the floor. And the big sister was like, okay, who's going to do this? Who's going to wash the dishes? Who's going to, you know, vacuum? Who's going to do this? And even the youngest one at 4 years old, she was just there. You know, she has no clue what she has to do. But everybody had a role, right? So again, having some structure is good. Having flexibility is good. Teaching them how to be comfortable with having a bit of both is really how you help your children to develop this creative mental flexibility that we're talking about today. All right. So with these exposures, it enables your child to pick up skills and solve problems more effectively, and in the long run, inshallah, your child will benefit in being able to achieve their goals with ease. All right. So thank you so much, everybody, for listening in. I hope that this episode has given you some ideas of what you can try to do with your children. And to all fathers who are struggling, who are worried, I hope that you no longer have to worry. I hope that you will seek help. And don't be ashamed that sometimes you may have to talk to somebody about your situation. And this Father's Day is a time for us to celebrate fathers who don't complain enough and fathers who are responsible, and fathers who are reliable, and fathers who are good role models to the children. Okay, so once again, we should be more forthcoming in seeking help and assistance in times of struggle. And as mentioned in the opening, in collaboration with partners, Mendaki offers programs for parents such as The Parenting Years, which aims to guide parents in encouraging their children to embark on a journey with them to nurture a closer bond and a more meaningful relationship. You can learn more about this program at Mendaki's website, mendaki.org.sg/programs, and you can search for parenting programs to be more specific so that you can learn more about what they offer. All right, So thank you so much once again for tuning in, and have an amazing Father's Day. Take care. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.